God, you are higher than me. Awesome in power, our God, say. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand? Come on. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what? Come on, hallelujah. If our God, hallelujah, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, come on, one more time. And if our God, and if our God is for us, and if our God is with us, then what can stand against? What can stand against? Oh, what can stand against? What can stand?
He's a provider. He's all we need. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. My, my, my. Lord, have mercy. Praise the Lord. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can, come on, and if our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then come on, one more time, let's say it, hallelujah. And if then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? What can stand against? What can stand? Awesome in power. Our God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Some of you walked into this church, you're singing like you haven't been here in a while.
Mothers, 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 mothers. God bless you. It's good to have you back in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Worship ain't the same without you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I feel good today. My, 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 my. Amen. God bless you. Sister Brown, Sister Burr, Sister Calm. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you all, saints. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is a keeper. He kept you all. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and read a prayer request from Sister Brown real quick before we read our scripture. We're going to turn to Psalms 147. This prayer request from Sister Brown says, pray for my family and the loss of my cousin. He was very dear to the family, and we all are having a hard time with his sudden death. Please pray for God's comfort and traveling mercies as we go to Georgia for the funeral. So we want to remember Sister Brown and the family. Praise the Lord. We'll start at the first verse. Amen. We'll read down to verse 12. Amen. It reads, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifted up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heavens with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth the beasts his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. Amen. Let's bow our hearts. Almighty God, Father, we are indeed a grateful people. Lord God, that we can stand in the house of the Lord in your presence together. Brothers and sisters of like precious faith, Lord God, and we have gathered to worship you. Father, you said in your word that you would inhabit the praises of your people. So we lift up our voices in song and dance and in the clappings of the hands, and our hearts rejoice in your presence, O God. So we ask, O God, that you would come and move in our midst, Lord God. Continue to shower down your anointing upon the musicians, upon this congregation, Lord God, upon our pastor. Move by your spirit and have your way. Father, we ask comfort, Lord God, for Sister Brown and her family for the loss of a cousin, Lord God. Oh, Father, death, Lord, is always hard upon your people because of our love, Lord, for one another. And we just pray, oh God, that you would comfort the family, each one, Lord. And Father, when you take someone from the earth, Lord, there's someone you also call, Lord. And we ask, O God, that in the ministering of the word, a soul would be won into the kingdom of Almighty God. Have your way, Lord, with the family. Have your way in this service, and be with your people now all across the world. Keep and protect each one, Lord God, as we commit ourselves to you now. In the blessed and lovely name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. Let's offer unto our God another clap offering. I believe it's a song of grace. It's called He Could Have Let Me Drown.
Hallelujah.
I was sinking in a sea of sin and shame, but Jesus found me and he changed my name. He could have let me drown. Oh, he could have let
me drown. But instead he took,
come on, let's sing that verse again.
Well, I was sinking in a sea of sin and shame, but Jesus found me and he changed my name. He could have let me drown. Oh, he could have let me drown. Yeah, yeah. He could have let me drown. But instead he,
come on, love lifted me.
bless you. I'm going to sing a song. I think everyone knows at least the chorus too, so if you don't mind singing with me.
Oh, Lord.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, Sister Rachel.
Amen.
Wait, Rachel, I'm talking about Sister Rebecca. I had one of them senior moments, and I'm not a senior yet. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Sister Rebecca. We certainly appreciated that. That's nobody like our Lord. Amen. What a name, the name of the lovely Lord Jesus. Amen. If you will, stand to your feet. Amen. Let's sing this little song together. There's something about the name Jesus, and we'll invite Brother Jack to the pulpit at this time. Hallelujah. There's something about the name. Yes, it is. Something about the name Jesus. Mm-hmm. Is a sweetest name. I love, oh how I love the name Jesus. Oh how I love the name Jesus. It is a sweet, come on, something about that name. Say yeah, something about the name Jesus. There's something about the name Jesus. It is a sweetest name I know, and know how I love. Oh, how I love the name Jesus. It is a sweet. Come on, one more time. There's something about that name. There's something about the name Jesus. There's something about the name Jesus. It is a sweetest name I know. Oh, how I love the name Jesus. Oh, how I love the name Jesus. It is a sweetest name I know. There's something about the name. It is the sweetest name. Yes, it is. Oh, how I love the name Jesus. Oh, how I love the name. It is the sweetest name. Say, oh. It is the sweetest name. Hallelujah. Say, oh, 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 oh. It is the sweetest name. Something about the name.
Something about the name.
It is the sweetest name. Come on one more time. Oh, how I love the name Jesus.
Oh, how I love the name.
It is the sweetest name. It is the sweetest name I know.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Nothing like the name of Jesus. Absolutely nothing like the name of Jesus. Amen. There's power when we call in his name. There's healing when we call on his name. There's deliverance when we call on his name.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Whatever we need, we can find it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So good to be back in the house of God on this precious day. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I guess sometimes we take things for granted. Amen. And God have to kind of shake us up a little bit and help us to realize that we got something precious in our hands, so we should always enjoy anytime we get a chance to come into the house of the Lord. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Amen. So we certainly thank God. So good to have some of the mothers back, amen, on today. Praise the Lord for that. We're just slowly just integrating everybody back in. And I know that I believe it was one day this week the president got up and said church is essential, and he's trying to get them all open as fast as it can. And I do appreciate, amen, our president just stepping forth and saying things like that. There's some states where the governor's just completely left church off the list. They opening everything else but the church. So it's good that the president got up and said that. But we just want to take a gradual approach to bringing everybody back together. And I trust that everybody received the letter this week. And if you did not get the communication from us, then let us know. We'll make sure you get that. But a few announcements before we would go into the word of the Lord on today. Amen. First, want to thank God for our new keyboard. Amen. Certainly thank God for this blessing. And I got a card here that says, with special thanks to all of you, to know you is to know people who are kind, considerate, and thoughtful. To know you is to be grateful for the special things you do. It says, for everything you've done, for being the special people that you are, thank you so very much. Your cheerful giving and kind hearts have blessed us tremendously. We are so grateful to be a part of such a beautiful congregation. May the Lord bless you all. That's from the SAT musicians. Amen. And thanking you all for your kindness and your generosity towards the keyboard. And amen. And just elated. So thank God for you all. I just want to announce, want to wish a couple of birthday this week. Happy birthday to our sister Liz. Amen. She'll be celebrating a birthday on tomorrow. So we wish her a happy birthday. And also Brother Josiah. God bless you, Brother Josiah. We'll be celebrating a birthday on Friday. Amen. Thank God for that. So don't forget, we'll be still continuing our virtual services on Wednesday night at 7:30. We only, amen, are allowing those that are over 60 in our congregation to come and join us on Wednesday. Everyone else, we just ask that you continue to stream. Eventually, we will get things back, open back up for everybody. But let's take it slow just to bring everybody back in. And one thing I'm grateful for is we have no outbreaks. And I'm happy about that. Very happy about that. Sometimes it's, you know, you can look back and you can, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. You say, well, we should have did this, we should have did that. Now, had we done that and had an outbreak, you know who everybody be looking at? The guy standing right here, right? So since it's all on my shoulders, y'all just got to work with me, you know, as we work through this, because everybody be like, Brother Jack, see, he shouldn't have. No, don't throw me under the bus now.
But no, just work with me and pray for me. We've never, and I don't think anybody's ever had to lead through times like this. So we're just doing the best we can. But we want to continue just to do what we're doing for right now. So Wednesday night, we ask that you would stream and how blessed I was just doing the lesson on last Wednesday. The Lord just letting us know we're accepted.
Yes, sir.
I am accepted.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
I got favor, right? Because I'm accepted. Glory to God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I said, Lord, I like this. I was looking at that. I said, woo, Jesus, that's all right. But, you know, we were just blessed by that and enjoying our little journey here through the book of Ephesians. So we trust that the Lord will just continue to take us further. Don't forget 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. services on Sunday. And the new church app, we're announcing that again, that if you haven't received it yet, please go download it with your app store and just get the new church app. The app is actually called The Church App. And if you just download that and then look for Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, you'll be able to get all the information that we got. That's also another way for us to quickly communicate to everybody is through that app. So we just ask that all the saints would just go and download that. Quickly, amen. Again, talking about our giving, you do have the ability online to give if you're streaming. And I do thank God for those that are, amen, online and making a conscious decision to give. Amen. I think it's a real blessing. I was thinking on this the other day. When you go to a restaurant and you eat, you always give something for the meal, right? And if you are eating spiritually, you should give something for the meal. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is that all right? All right. Amen. Amen. Glory. I just leave that between you and God. That's what God said to say. So, but you have the ability to give online, and that's through Cash App. You can do that. We have up there on the bottom screen a cash symbol, Spirit and Truth T. You can send an offering or tithing or whatever through Cash App. Also, if you want to use PayPal, you just choose send to a friend or family member, and you would use the email address of giving@john423.org, giving@john423.org. So keep that in mind. Those that are in the sanctuary, we have our box there on the table, the wooden box that you would put your offering or tithing in, and you can do that either before or after service. But we'll pray over our giving at this moment, amen, and move forward in the service. Father, we thank you for the ability to be able to give. And Lord, we ask that you would use this for the furtherance of your kingdom. God, be glorified and magnified in all that we do. Thank you for being a provider. Thank you, Lord, for God, just all that you have done and just shown and proven yourself over and over again that you are at work, Father, even now. So we thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to come back into the house of the Lord today. Thank you for our precious saints, Lord, that are considered at risk. But God, you kept them through this entire time. If you allowed them to come back into the house of the Lord on today, God, we're grateful for that. And Lord, those that are still at home and God may be desiring, we pray that you'd open up doors for them to be able to get back into the house of God as well. Get all the glory and all the honor. As we begin to turn our attention towards the word of the Lord, we pray that you would just minister to us, Father, even right now through your word. Bless those that are watching online, and God, may you minister to them as well, right where they're sitting. Be glorified and magnified in this service this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Musicians, thank you so much. Amen. I will just prepare to read a couple scriptures. Amen. And let's see here. They're very familiar scriptures that we'll read today. One is Malachi chapter 4. Verse 5 and 6, and then also Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7. We'll just kind of take our time with this particular subject. There is, you know, we are, I feel we're responsible for the stream that we have. And there are people that are watching us that have never even heard about our church and what we're all about. They just see us as a church, and that's perfectly fine. We are a church, amen. But there's something that we believe as a church, and you know there are things that you can go in other churches. You don't even really know what they believe. If you ask them questions, they really wouldn't be able to give you answers. But there's things that we believe, and you know, and we're just kind of not necessarily reestablishing, amen. It's just, you know, we want to take our time and kind of go through this, and I think it's almost. To some of us, it's almost going like almost like a rehearsal. But to others, this may be something brand new that they have never heard before. And so I want to do all I can to make sure I take time to explain, you know, from Scripture where we stand. If the Bible, amen, does not provide our foundation to our belief, then something's wrong somewhere. And so, I mean, you hear strange things coming on this stream. Strange. What is that? Never heard that before. Well, let's try to go back to Scripture and help us to understand, you know, where we're coming from. Praise the Lord. If I could just let the people know that when we're saying the things that we're saying, we you may not realize it, but we have stepped into a vision. Amen. We have entered into a vision. There was prophecy in Scripture actually written about us. Amen. Before we were born, right? While we were yet sinners, there was a prophecy in Scripture written about us. It didn't have my name per se. Amen. But it did have my condition.
Amen.
Is that right? My heart was messed up. I was mixed up. I was turned all around, but I needed my heart to be turned.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I'm stepping into a vision. Amen. Of what Malachi wrote about me years ago. And I pray that through the preaching of the word, somebody else will step into the vision.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Amen. So I want to read here from Malachi chapter 4, amen, hallelujah, glory to God, amen. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and verse 6, and also Revelation 10 and verse 7. It says here, "Behold, I will send you, Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Hallelujah. I just love that. You know, when Elijah, he said no rain. It was a drought in the land. And he said, "Ain't going to be any rain until I call for it." And even when he spoke these words, it impacted him because the river that he was getting water from, that river dried up. So God told him, say, "Now I got a place for you to go. And there's a woman that's going to sustain you once you get there. She's going to sustain you now." And he showed him a vision of this woman and everything and how she'd have two sticks and, you know, and how she'd be kind of talking about her condition and, you know, how bad things were. He said, "But that's going to be the woman that I told to sustain you." And what caused that woman to look at the situation a little different, he said, "Give me a drink of water." "Say, I'll go get you some water." And he said, "Why are you on the way? Would you bake me a cake?" He said, "Now, hold on. Now, look. You done crossed the line. I'm getting ready to bake my last cake for my son and for myself, and we gonna die. I give you the water, but the cake," he said, no, "go bake it for your son and for yourself. But thus saith the Lord." Oh, that was it.
Yes, sir.
Soon as she heard "thus saith the Lord," she knew the drought couldn't keep it from coming forth.
Right.
She knew things was gonna change soon as she heard "thus saith the Lord." But I want you to understand, he was only sent.
Right, brother. Ooh. Oh, I like that. That's me. Amen. Amen.
So can I read this again? "Behold, I send."
Me.
Huh?
Woo!
Hallelujah. "Behold, I send you, Elijah."
Yes, sir.
"The prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So you have to be able to see yourself in Scripture.
Yes, sir.
Who is this Elijah that God is sending me? All right. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Amen. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of that. Let's go to Revelation 10, amen, and verse 7. Glory, glory. These are scriptures. And notice now I'm reading from Malachi. If you notice in your Bible, that was the very last verse of the Old Testament. Very last verse, God put something in there in the Old Testament so that we could kind of catch it. And another thing you got to kind of understand about that, before Jesus came, there was no New Testament. All they had was the Old Testament. That's all. I mean, the first four books of the Gospel, the New Testament, is written about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But before that, there was only Old Testament. So people hung everything on what was written in the Old Testament.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah. The Old Testament prophesied of Christ coming. Right. Amen. The Old Testament prophesied of different kings that would come. Amen. The Old Testament prophesied that Elijah would come before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So we thank God for that. But now over in the New Testament, last book of the Bible again, God put something in Scripture that would help us. Look at this. Revelation 10:7 says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Amen. This is a promise that God said he would do. The mystery of God would be finished in this time, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophet. So let's pray over the word of the Lord. Amen. As we just prepare to go into a little thought here. Father, we just thank you. Amen. For the word. We thank you for Scripture that we can read. We trust, oh God, that the Holy Spirit would take control of our thoughts. And God, you would speak to your people right where they are. We have a responsibility to bring truth. The Bible says that we shall know the truth and the truth will make us free. So speak to our hearts, God, today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. I want to just read a quote here out of Spoken Word as Original Seed just to open us up. And we're actually going to grab our title from this particular quote. So let's just read this just to open things up. It says, and as I'm reading this, I need to again bring to our attention that we have been on a journey through Step Into the Vision. That's been the journey that we started out this year, and this is all birthed from, you know, what is this great vision that God has for us? Because 2020, you know, a year of vision. People would say perfect vision or, complete vision or whatever it is. But, you know, a lot of people have identified this year as a year of their vision and want to see visions come to pass or dreams that they might have, expectations that they might set. They want to see it. And it's perfectly fine that we establish ourselves natural goals and objectives. I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's real good, but I had to go a little deeper than just a natural goal for myself. I said, Lord, what is your vision, amen, for me that I need to step into? Not only just for me, but what is your vision for the church that we need to step into? And God just began to quicken to my spirit, amen, this message that he gave his prophet. The angel of the Lord came to the prophet and said, pick up your pen and write. And as he was writing, he was actually saying, this is a message to the church. You know, this was a message to believers. And so when I start looking at it here, an angel is telling the prophet, write these things down. And he wrote it all and he put it inside a book. What I'm doing is just preaching portions of that. I'm going kind of like almost paragraph by paragraph and grabbing inspiration and bringing that to the church, because I want us to be locked into this vision that God has for us. And we're stepping into that. We're stepping into that. So this is the next portion. You have to follow us throughout the whole year to get the whole thing that I'm bringing. But just, you know, if you don't do that, just take what you can today, and we'll just keep building on that, if that's all right. So here in the message, spoken word is the original seed, part two. The prophet makes a statement, like John the Baptist, Christ's faithful forerunner, the anointed prophet, no school of his father, no school of Pharisee, no denomination could call him from the wilderness where God had sent him until he heard the voice of God. The Messiah is at hand. Are you listening? Spiritual mind, what more could I say here? I'm skipping something here now. So this is the prophet actually, amen, giving us a portion of what the angel was telling him. He says, like John the Baptist, Christ's faithful forerunner. Amen. And that's going to be our title today, Christ's faithful forerunner. He says, like John the Baptist, Christ's faithful forerunner, the anointed prophet. Amen. No school of his father. No school of Pharisee, no denomination could call him from the wilderness where God had sent him. Now, he goes and says, until he heard the voice of God. Amen. The Messiah is at hand. Says, are you listening? Spiritual mind. Now, I was reading this, and I don't think I actually caught this until I stood here this morning and just read the quote. He says, are you listening? Spiritual mind. Because here God used a prophet. Amen. To write this down as a scribe. And as he's writing, it says, like John the Baptist, Christ's faithful forerunner, the anointed prophet.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. No school of his father,
right.
No school of a Pharisee. God gave us a prophet who dropped out of school, amen, in the seventh grade.
Hello.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
amen. He did not go to get these revelations from, amen, some seminary.
No, sir.
No school of his father. No school of a Pharisee. No denomination. Even when he got wrapped up and tied up and tangled up in denomination, when they tried to get him to do something that he knew was against the word, he left the denomination.
Exactly right.
He says, I can't ordain a woman to preach.
No, sir.
The Bible does the Bible speaks against that, so I cannot do that.
Amen.
And he walked out of that denomination.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He went out on his own. No school to support him.
Right.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Said, like John the Baptist, Christ's faithful forerunner, the anointed prophet, no school of his father, no school of the Pharisee, no denomination could call him from the wilderness where God had sent him until he heard the voice of God. The Messiah is at hand. Are you listening? Spiritual mind. What more could I say here? I'm skipping something here now. He could have skipped it then because the people couldn't receive it. But we can receive it today.
Right,
amen. Amen. When he said, behold, I send you, he's talking to me. Glory to God. So I can receive Elijah the prophet.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, sir,
let's go. You know, just that scripture alone in Malachi 4, it speaks of two comings of Elijah. One of them was actually in the ministry of John the Baptist. One, I mean, the scripture plainly tells us that it was John the Baptist fulfilling that. Maybe we ought to just read that real quick. I think it's going to be out of Luke chapter 1. Amen. Hallelujah. It's we got to take time and just look at the word of God for what it is so we know why we believe what we believe. Amen. I'm not just quoting things just to quote things. I'm believing this because it's in the word. Amen. Luke chapter 1. In verse 15, oh, glory to God. Amen. It says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Now, this is talking about John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist, as the angel Gabriel went and told his father what was going to happen, amen, Zechariah began to disbelieve this could be possible. His wife had never been pregnant before, and here he was old in age, and like, how in the world could this happen? But, you know, just because Zechariah disbelieved did not stop the promise from coming to pass.
Hey, let me tell you something. Just because you disbelieve what God has written in his word does not mean the word is not true.
Amen.
Glory to God. You have a you have the choice to actually believe or not believe. God ain't gonna make you believe this.
Amen.
He will present it to you, and it's up to you to believe and not to believe.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, rather than just searching the internet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because even in Jesus' day, they did searching. Glory to God. They wanted to know who he was. They did searching. They did asking. They had questions. And Jesus told them, search the scriptures.
That's it.
Praise God. Don't just search the internet. Search the scriptures.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. And let the scripture reveal to you what is truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory, glory, glory. He says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. So when you look at Malachi 4, the very first part of that, John the Baptist is the one that fulfills that, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. But Malachi promised, he says, and turn the hearts of the children to their fathers.
Yes,
hallelujah. There's two ministries with two anointings of Elijah that would come after Malachi prophesied it.
Yes, sir.
One happened with John the Baptist. The other happened with William Marion Branham.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, that's just, it's in scripture. It's in scripture. And we're talking about Christ. Christ's faithful forerunner. Now, I want you to just kind of stay with me. I was just looking at this because that quote said, the anointed prophet. John the Baptist, amen, was Christ's faithful forerunner. John the Baptist was one of Christ's faithful forerunner. Amen. Let me put it that way. And notice this, amen. It said that the quote said, Christ's faithful, like John the Baptist, Christ's faithful forerunner, the anointed prophet. Now, I'm just kind of reflecting on that because, you know, being a person that reads the Bible, I mean, why would the angel tell the prophet to pick up his pen and write and then identify John as an anointed prophet? And actually, in another instance of the same quote in the Church Age book, we'll read it later, he called him a mighty prophet, a mighty prophet. Amen. Now, I was just wondering about that, and I'll give you the answer. I just want to kind of put this out here for everyone. Amen. Why would the angel describe John as an anointed prophet or a mighty prophet? You know, John never worked one miracle. John never healed anybody. Right? But he's identified by the angel of the Lord as a mighty prophet. Amen, as an anointed prophet. Another thing you need to know about John, his ministry only lasted 6 months. But yet he's identified by the angel as a mighty prophet. What could a man do in 6 months that he would get the description from an angel as mighty or anointed? Hallelujah. When I think about anointed prophets, amen, I think about Moses. What was the anointing that was on Moses and the mighty miracles that he performed that to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? That was truly an anointing. Amen. When Moses was out in the wilderness with the children of Israel and they got thirsty, and he stood up and he took his rod and struck the rock, and water came from a rock. That was an anointing.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. He did it a second time, which he wasn't supposed to, because Christ is not struck twice. But he did it a second time. He struck the rock and water came out, even when God didn't tell him to do it. What an anointing on Moses.
Right.
I think about Elijah. Amen. When you talk about anointed prophets, I think about the prophet Elijah. He was so anointed, he gave that woman, amen, a promise of her barrel not going empty and her oil not running dry because she heard, thus saith the Lord. And, amen, because of her obedience, she received a miracle. We saw this same Elijah raise the dead. We saw this same Elijah call down fire and, amen, not only consume the sacrifice, but when he thought I can't think of the king, but Ahab's son, when he came and said, look, go tell that prophet, come down now. He approached him, amen, in a disrespectful way. And the prophet said, if I am a prophet, hallelujah, hallelujah, if I am a prophet, let fire come down and consume you and your 50. Hallelujah. You couldn't call that prophet out the wilderness just because you were king.
No,
that prophet moved by, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
I got good news for you. The bride is also moving.
Hallelujah.
By, thus saith the Lord. No one can make her do otherwise.
Amen.
Hear the prophet say, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down and consume you and your 50. Fire come down, consume the first 50. Then the king say, send up another leader of 50 men. Say, go up and tell that prophet I said, come down now. Say, no. The king said, come down now. He say, if I am a man of God, let fire come down and consume you and your 50. Fire come down from heaven, spoken word, destroy them all. You talk about an anointed, don't play with God.
Amen.
Don't play with an anointed prophet.
The
king said, I ain't satisfied. I want him to come down now. See, a plague had struck this king. A plague was on this king, and he had a disease in his feet, and he went to go ask some false gods what was going to happen to him. So the prophet interrupted the journey and said, go tell him he's going to die. Say, is there not a God in Israel? What you running off to these false gods for?
Right.
Oh,
amen.
Come
amen.
On, somebody.
Hello.
Wait, why are you going off to some of these false gods, yeah. some of these denominational teachings?
Yes, come on,
is there not a God in this message?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Praise God. What are you looking for?
Right.
What are you running off to? They got rebuked
yes,
for running off to another God like that. Say, go tell them. I say, come down. This third guy say, look, now, I tell you what. I don't see any other ones go down. They ain't make it back to the camp. Say, I'm going to approach them a little different. They, yeah, I'm going to go up and I'm going to obey your command. He say, but prophet, please spare me and my men. We want to go back home to our families. We just asking you, please, would you come down and see the king? Man said, God said, go with him. Because of his approach to the prophet, then he was able to get, amen, a response from the prophet.
Right.
Hallelujah. But he was not moved, amen, by what the king said. He was only moved by thus saith the Lord. That was an anointed prophet. I thought about Jeremiah. Amen. When we look at anointed prophets, Jeremiah prophesied to nations. Jeremiah also told the children of Israel that their bondage would only last for 70 years. Hallelujah. I love that statement, that their bondage will only last for 70 years. I want to tell you, the Lord said it's temporary bondage. Some of your loved ones are in what we call temporary bondage. There's a stopping point.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
They got to come out somehow and
right.
some way.
Yes,
that
sir.
Sickness that you're fighting in your body, it's a temporary bondage.
Come on, brother.
Glory to God, your finances being fought by the devil.
Yeah,
it is a temporary bondage.
Amen.
Glory to God, you might have been depressed, but you are coming out.
Come on.
Amen. You might have been sick, but you are coming out.
Preach.
Amen. Your children were bound, but they are coming out. And I said were. I'm not looking at what they are. I'm looking at what they were. Your children were bound, but they are coming out. Your finances were tight, but you are coming into abundance. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Everything you're going through is temporary, subject to change. Blessed be the name of the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jeremiah spoke only 70 years. It's temporary, but the thing is going to change after that time period.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Whatever I'm going through is temporary. It's about to change. I believe that.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Elisha was an anointed prophet. Elisha laid on a little boy for, amen, and sneezed. The boy sneezed seven times and he brought the boy back to life. Amen. Elisha caused an axe head to float when a man dropped his axe and borrowed axe into the lake, into the water. The man went running and said, Elisha, I borrowed it. I need that axe back. And Elisha worked a miracle in the axe head. I mean, it's supposed to go to the bottom, but somehow he brought it back up to the top.
Yes,
what a miracle by Elisha.
Amen.
Watch. Amen. Elisha parted the Jordan just like Elijah did. Elisha prayed for the spiritually blind. Because see, Gehazi could see, but he also couldn't see.
Uh-huh. Amen.
You know, there's people watching the stream that can see, but I want to know, can they really see?
Right.
Hallelujah. I'm praying for the spiritually blind.
Yes, sir.
I want them to see scripture that is manifested in their day.
Amen.
It's easy to look back and see what happened with Jesus.
Uh-huh.
But can you see what happened after Jesus went to the cross, died and rose again? Can you see scripture after that?
Right.
Hallelujah, somebody. Elisha raised the dead. Elisha caused an axe head to float. He parted Jordan, prayed for the spiritually blind, healed people of leprosy, provided a strategy to pay off debts. Amen. Elijah caused an entire army to be blinded. Amen. And not only that, Elisha, one of the other great miracles, because Elisha had a double portion of Elijah's spirit.
All right.
Elijah worked 8 miracles. Elisha worked 16 miracles.
Yes, sir.
And do you know what his 16th miracle was? The 16th miracle is something that happened while he was dead.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Elisha was off the scene. Bones, amen, his skin had already rotted. Flesh had fell from his bones. But while his bones were in a grave, a man got thrown on top, a dead warrior.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Was thrown on the top of Elisha's bones.
Uh-huh.
And because the dead warrior hit the prophet's bones, it caused the warrior to come back up to his feet.
Yes, sir.
And go right back into battle.
Right. Hallelujah.
Praise God. A resurrection occurred by a man hitting some dead bones. That was Elisha.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So miracles were still happening even though Elisha was dead.
Oh, Lord, 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 Lord. Amen.
Glory to God.
Praise
when we talk about anointing,
uh-huh.
Man, that was anointed.
Yes,
that was powerful.
My God.
Yeah.
But the angel said John was anointed. The angel called John, a man with a 6-month ministry, a man that never worked one miracle. The angel said he was anointed. The angel called him a mighty prophet. Now, I know many of y'all already know the answer to that, but let me just keep you in suspense. Hallelujah. Let's go back and look at this. Our title is Christ Faithful Forerunner. Now, I looked at that word forerunner and just wanted to kind of find out, you know, what is the Greek lexicon saying about this one? And I pulled it up and it said a forerunner is one who is sent before to take observations or act as a spy, a scout, a light-armed soldier. One who comes in advance to a place where the rest are to follow. Amen. So it had these multiple definitions. And as I thought about this definition of a forerunner, it's someone sent before to take observations or act as a spy or a scout. I couldn't help but think about the 12 spies, amen, of Israel. They were sent to go and look over the land, amen, and come back with a report. They were actually forerunning. Hallelujah, because this land, this promised land that God had given the children of Israel years before they actually came, amen, even on the scene. God had already prophesied to Abraham that he was going to give his people a promised land. Now, when the children of Israel rose up, came from underneath the bondage on their way into the promised land, do you realize that they had stepped into a vision of what God had told Abraham? that they were not supposed to stay in Egypt, that they were going to come out and go into a promised land. Hallelujah. You know, when God called Israel out of Egypt, that was considered an exodus. Amen. And when God called us out of our denominational churches, guess what happened? We went into another exodus. But there's a third one. Amen. That's waiting for us. And that's us coming out of this world and going into rapture.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Praise God. There's a land awaiting us.
Right.
Hallelujah. All right, listen, those 12 spies went and they scouted the land and they brought back a report. Hallelujah. And 10 of the spies just began to, you know, talk about the good things. They're carrying the grapes of the land and they're showing the people how prosperous the land is. But yet they're also giving a negative report. Hallelujah. But there were two in the midst of the 12 that saw something different. They looked at the giants in the land. They looked at all the problems. They, hallelujah. If I could say, they also looked at some of the websites. Glory. Some of the descriptions of the land. They looked at it. But they also searched the scripture.
Yes, sir.
They said, God made us a promise. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? And it was two out of 12 that decided to stay with the word of God. And those two were the only ones that were blessed to go in and see the promised land. They had to wait 40 years, but they obtained the blessing because of their waiting. And then the angel say, let us stand like Joshua and Caleb.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Praise the
glory to God. And that's the way we're standing today. Look, we're not just reading Old Testament scriptures just to read them.
No, sir.
But those characters and their stories represent something for today.
Amen.
And I'm not looking at what everybody else said. I'm not listening to their description of the message land. Can I put it that way? I'm not listening to everybody's description, but I'm standing like Joshua and Caleb. I'm looking at what God wrote in his word. Behold, I send you,
yes, sir,
Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
Amen.
Well, who is this prophet that God is sending me? And this is why I always make this comment. If it wasn't William Marion Branham, because that scripture that I read in Malachi 4 was written to me. Hallelujah. If it wasn't William Branham, you better give me somebody, because God told me that he was sending Elijah the prophet.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. I told you, amen. Let's go back and look at this thing from a scriptural standpoint. Those 12 spies were scouting it out, brought back an evil report, but Joshua and Caleb brought a good report, said we're more than able to take the land. Don't worry about the giants. And look, we're not grasshoppers. That's what the children of Israel thought, that they were grasshoppers. But Joshua said we're more than able to overcome them. Caleb said we're more than able. It's how you look at yourself. Amen. Stop looking at yourself. You ain't even fought the battle and you see yourself defeated.
Hallelujah.
Come on, brother. You haven't even got into the battle yet, and you see yourself defeated. Let me tell you, don't even step into the ring if you already see yourself defeated.
Right?
You know, there were many boxers that would fight Mike Tyson. Amen. And before they got into the ring, they listened to all the hype, all the media, and how he knocked this one out, and how he knocked that one out. I didn't know I was going to say this today, but I might as well say it. He did this in a minute. This guy went out in that minute. And Mike Tyson himself just believed he was going to knock anybody out. Hallelujah. Amen. And guys would go in and go down in notes and record time. Never been knocked out in any of their fights, but they hit Mike Tyson, and because of the hype, they were defeated.
Yes, sir.
But there was one guy, they wouldn't even put him on TV. They say, this not going to be worth you or us even showing you on TV, because we know you're going to get knocked out. His name was Buster Douglas. And Buster got in there and fought with Mike. And then about the 10th round, he took Mike Tyson down.
Right.
Hallelujah. A one-hit wonder. Never heard from him again. But it was a man that was willing to fight.
Yes, sir.
A man that would not listen to the hype.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. And when Buster Douglas took him down, then Evander Holyfield rose a couple places and said, I need to put on more weight, because I believe I can take him down too. You got to believe you can take your enemy down.
Yes, sir.
before you get in the ring. Praise God, if you can just think in your mind that you're already an overcomer. If you can get in your mind, you already accept it. If you can get in your mind, you already got favor. If you can get it in your mind, you're already victorious. Why? I'm not fighting a battle. God is fighting a battle for me. All he needed is somebody to show up. Somebody to be a representative. David was a representative. He represented the entire army of Israel. Brother, I ain't got no sword. I ain't got no stick, but give me five rocks. My, take this fella down. He'll be just like the bear. He'll be just like the lion. I'm going to take him down. Because he believed he was representing God. In the battle, God got in the midst of his sling, and he just one rock took Goliath down. All God needs is just one rock with you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, hallelujah. Stop seeing yourself defeated. Amen. Even if you got symptoms, you can come out of them symptoms.
Amen.
Don't see yourself as defeated.
Amen.
See yourself victorious. Speak the word of God and keep moving forward. Hallelujah. This forerunner, amen, is one someone who sent before to take observation, to act as a spy or scout. Amen. Here we got the 12 spies. And unfortunately, the majority of the spies, 10 of them, brought back an evil report of the promised land. And that evil report caused an entire generation to miss their blessing. Because they believed an evil report rather than believing the word of God. I want to say this again. Amen. There's people that's researching stuff on the internet, and they are getting an evil report.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And by you looking at the evil report, you are missing your blessing.
Amen.
You'll find yourself wandering around from church to church. Israel was on a journey. It was going from one city to the next city. And what happens here is they go from church to church and they say, we found the word. We're free. We got the word. But you can't stay satisfied in that church.
Right. Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm talking about going from one denomination to the next denomination. Now, you know, if I had to move, right, if God took me and said, you got to leave West Palm Beach, you got to move or whatever, I can guarantee you what I'm looking for, wherever I'm going, is another message church.
Exactly right, brother. Amen.
Glory to God.
Yes, sir.
I ain't just moving just to be moving.
Right.
Is there a church there that I can get connected with that preach this message?
Hallelujah.
Come on, brother. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Like Sister Amanda said, you say, you saw a house where? You said, Vero, is there a church there? And is that the same church that Brother Jack is the pastor of? Because if it's not, I ain't going there.
Right.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to be identified with a group of people.
Yes, sir.
That know they come from God and they're going back to God.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Also, I think of, amen, this forerunner, someone sent before to take observation or act as spy. I think about the two spies that Rahab received. Amen. Rahab, the harlot, received two spies into a home. And because of her receiving the message from these spies, she was given a token for her deed. And that token was that if you just, this cord that you've let out your window to let us down by, keep that cord hanging out the window. And when we come in to take the land, because Rahab knew that, and all the people of Jericho knew that the land was going to be given to Israel. They were just waiting on the time. She said, we're afraid of y'all coming here. Right. Say, but please give me a token. Spare me and my family. Amen. Hallelujah. Rahab, they say, we'll spare you and your family, but all you got to do is get your family in the house.
Yes, sir.
Your family can't be on the streets talking about they know Rahab. Anybody can say that.
Uh-huh.
Right? Amen. They can't be out there talking about where we used to know Rahab. She's been a good friend. I used to work with her. That ain't got nothing. The only safety was to be inside the house.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Can I go a little further? I said it last week. Unless you eat this bread, you won't have life.
Right.
So unless you eat this bread, in what house? In Christ's house. Hallelujah. You ain't going to have no eternal life outside of that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know that's bold, but that's what Jesus was telling them, amen, back there in the book of John. He got bold in the book of John. And I'm going to tell you, as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, you're going to hear the gospel get bold.
Yes, sir. Amen. I believe.
Because we be trying to just, you know, work with people's feelings, trying to work with their emotions. But God ain't thinking about your emotions. He gave a promise.
Yes, right.
And do you believe or don't you believe?
Right.
All right. We're coming further. Hallelujah. Them spies that she received, amen, they were scouts. They were spies. They were taking observation. They were observing how the people were feeling. They knew the time had come for them to go in and take the land. God gave them a strategy to march around the walls. And as they marched around the walls for 6 days, and on the seventh day, they marched seven times. But at the end of that seventh time, they had to be still. Glory to God. And they couldn't say a word during the time they was marching. But then finally, Joshua said, now it's time to let out a great shout. And when they let out the great shout, the walls came tumbling down. All this was because of two spies giving a good report. Amen. When I think about somebody being a forerunner sent before to take observation as a spy or a spout, I also thought about Brother Branham having the ability to scout out and tell us what heaven was like. But he also scouted out and he could tell us what hell was like.
Yes, sir.
So let me just make this very clear. I'm going to take a prophetic definition of what heaven is like, and I'm going to take a prophetic experience and definition of what hell is like. There's many people, it's all over the internet. Somebody saying, I went to heaven and this happened. One little boy said he went to heaven and it was like a big theme park. That ain't what the prophet said.
No, sir.
That's not what the prophet said. He ain't saying nothing about no theme park. But he did talk about a horse. And he did talk about a dog. Hallelujah. He even talked about a chair. Everything that you loved and everything that ever loved you, God said he was going to give it to you over there. So I got a promise that I'm holding on to. Not just what God spoke to his prophet, but when the prophet revealed it, I realized God loved me just as much.
Yes, sir.
So I'm holding on to that.
Amen. Amen.
I'm looking for all my loved ones to be there. Because mama ain't mama if all her children ain't at home eating dinner. Mama's mind is wondering if one child is missing. Amen. Glory to God. So when we get to the marriage supper of the Lamb, mama want to see all her children. Glory, 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 glory. Somehow, some way, majestic fingers will unravel the knots. And we're gonna see our promises come to pass. Hey, I say it's a temporary bondage.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's temporary bondage.
Amen.
The devil has limits. All right, glory to God. So here, this other definition is a forerunner is one who comes in advance to a place where the rest will follow. And I love this. Amen. One who comes in advance to a place where the rest will follow. Now I want to read a scripture in here, amen, because as a forerunner, if you're running, amen, with a message, you're coming to a place where the rest will follow. You're coming, you got to have a message that you're giving the people. John the Baptist had a message that he was giving the people. Brother Branham had a message that he was giving the people. They were both Christ's faithful forerunners. Amen. Now, so I want to just kind of hit a scripture out of 2 Samuel 18 and verse 19. We'll start at verse 19. If you were a forerunner, if you were elected to be a forerunner, you had to have a message. Amen. Glory to God. You had to have something to say. Glory to God. Amen. If you are a forerunner, let me make that very clear. If God has called you to be a forerunner, you have to have a message with something to say. See, I mean, we got other ministries that came on the scene during the same time Brother Branham was here. Right. Billy Graham, wonderful ministry. Right. Oral Roberts, wonderful ministry. But we're talking about the message that the man would have. What is the message that they have to say? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Let's look at this. Amen. In 2 Samuel 18, and we'll start at verse 19. Thank you, Jesus. This man was a forerunner, or he wanted to be a forerunner. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 19, 2 Samuel 18. And it says this. All right. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. Now he said, I want to go tell the king what has happened to his enemy. Amen. This was a time where Absalom had risen up against David. And now Absalom is dead, but this man, Ahimaaz, he realizes that something has happened. But I can tell you before we get to the end, this man wants to run, but he has no message. Hallelujah. And we got many people running today, but you don't have a message. Oh, we want to know the message. I told you, we are rainbow trout.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Glory, glory. We want to know the voice behind the sign.
Yes, sir.
All right, look. It says, then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings now how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings, another day, but this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. It says, then said Joab to Cushi, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushi bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Now Cushi saw something. Amen. Maybe Ahimaaz is just noticing how the people are responding. He don't know nothing, but Cushi saw something. Hallelujah. So Cushi can run because of what he saw. Amen. I can stand with this message because of what I see.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going off what I heard.
Amen.
Glory to God, but I'm going off what I see in Scripture.
Yes, sir.
Glory. Amen. Say, then said Joab to Cushi, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushi bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushi. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? What you running for? What's your purpose in doing this? You ain't even got nothing to say.
Nothing.
You don't have a message.
My.
Can I tell you something? I don't have a message, but I follow one.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Look at this man. Now I'm going to tell you why this man is running like this. It's a selfish motive. Now he said, I'm going to run after Cushi. Now watch what happens to him. Watch. This is verse 23. But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said to him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushi.
Wow.
Hallelujah. He overran Cushi. He's a full runner, but he overran Cushi. He had no message.
No message.
Joab told him, you ain't got no message.
Yeah, that's right.
But yet you want to overrun Cushi.
Yeah.
You got to watch your spirit.
Yeah.
God ain't put you ahead of the prophet.
No, sir.
Hallelujah. Run behind the prophet.
Come on, brother.
Keep the word in sight.
Right. Yeah.
Glory to God.
Come on,
don't be an Ahimaaz. Be a Cushi.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Watch this now. Watch it. It says, verse 23. Whosoever said, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushi. And David sat between the two gates. And the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king. And the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. Hallelujah. And he came apace and drew near. Watch. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, me thinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz. They could tell him by the way he ran. They can tell his spirit by the things that he did. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look, he says, the watchman said, me thinking the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. Look at this. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. Now, you know, David's, okay, we won the battle. But David got a very special interest because he told some people, now go out there and deal gently. Deal gently with Absalom. Look at this. And the king, blessed be you, king. And, you know, king, live forever. He got all these praises for the king. He got an ulterior motive. Glory to God. You know, as a leader, you can't get lifted up in praises.
Right.
Some folk will lift you up to take you down.
That's exactly right, brother.
Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, amen. It says, and the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. He had no message. Yeah, I saw these rocks piled up, but I didn't know what it was. See, Cushy has seen something.
Yes, sir.
Ahimaaz is just observing victory, but really don't know what's going on.
Right.
Don't be an Ahimaaz. Be a Cushy. Look at what happens here. He done beat Cushy to the punch, done gave his message, but didn't have nothing to say. See, don't be running trying to get in the pulpit. Because you might not have nothing to say.
That's
talking about forerunners. Christ's faithful forerunners. Watch this now. Amen. Verse 30. It says, and the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. You really ain't done nothing for me yet. All your running, you ain't done nothing. All your running, you ain't said nothing to edify me yet. Brother, we not, when we talk about a forerunner, we're looking for somebody to edify us. We're looking for somebody with a message. Something that'll stick to the bones. Something that will resurrect us out of dead denominationalism.
Yes,
man, we want to hear something from the Lord.
Hey, praise the Lord.
Amen. Glory to God. Now, don't just feed us, amen, Daniel the lion's den. Amen, we've been hearing it for years. Yes. Give us a little bit more to that.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Yes. Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Yes,
we need a man with a message.
Yes.
Something that will settle our hearts.
Right.
Something that will settle our spirits.
Yes, sir. Yes,
something,
sir,
that will answer all of our spiritual,
amen,
questions.
Amen.
What really happened in the Garden of Eden?
Yes.
Ahimaaz ain't got nothing to say.
Nothing to say. Yes. You preaching, brother.
Billy Graham ain't got nothing to say about that.
Amen.
Old Robertson ain't got nothing to say about that. T.D. Jakes ain't got nothing to say about that. But God sent a prophet with a message.
That's the truth.
And he revealed all the mysteries.
Yes, sir.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Glory, glory, glory. Let me keep reading. Amen, amen. The king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushy came. And Cushy said, tidings, my lord, the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. Now, he's almost saying the same thing. This is where the message changes. Because we all got the same Bible. We all reading the same thing, right? But there's, and if I could just put it this way, the message is actually written in between the lines. Now you say, Brother Jack, what you mean by that? What happened in the Garden of Eden? If you want to really understand, you have to read between the lines. Glory to God.
Amen.
Otherwise, you'll get stuck.
Right.
Hallelujah. You'll still be thinking it's some apple or apricot or something. No. Adultery took place in the garden.
Amen.
Folk got pregnant.
Amen.
You better read between the lines. And even though the Bible say that Eve got a man from the Lord, that don't stop right there. Yes, Brother Branham said, Eve, I was listening to a video last night, Brother Ed Biscoe. He had fellowship with Brother Branham. He was talking about, he had a question. Lord, help me. I'm going to come back to this. Take that down just for a second. Take that. And what verse is that? 31? I'm coming back to it. But he said he had some questions. He saw the angel of the Lord moving in Brother Branham's ministry. But he's like, man, this don't seem right. To see God manifesting this way, himself this way. But I'm hearing some strange things about this doctrine that he's teaching. So Brother Biscoe had questions. And somebody told him, said, why don't you just write Brother Branham a letter and ask him to come hunting up here in this area. And maybe you can get some of your questions answered. He say, he get letters from everywhere. Ain't no way he going to respond to mine. So he said, all right, I'm going to just do it anyway. He just sent the letter. Sent the letter. He was living in one city, sent the letter. He had moved from that city. And somehow Brother Branham still caught up with him and said, yes, I'll be glad to come. He said, okay, well, he come. He arranged the hunt and got Brother Branham out there hunting. And as they were hunting, Brother Branham's on his horse. And the Holy Spirit say, Eddie Biscoe got three questions for you. This is one. This is two. This is three. So he come back to the camp that night and say, you know what? I think I'm going to go get a rabbit for us to eat tonight. Brother Branham say, let's go get a rabbit. He says, Brother Biscoe, would you like to join us? Join me? And say, yeah, I'll be glad to join you. There was another brother in the camp, and the other brother said, well, y'all going to get a rabbit? I think I'm going to jump up, and I'll go get a rabbit too. He said, okay, Brother Branham said, come on, brother, come on. Then the brother said, no, I'll just stay here, and I'll wash the dishes. Now, Brother Branham didn't tell him to do that, but the Holy Spirit told him, Eddie Biscoe, not him. He ain't got no questions. Eddie Biscoe got three questions, and you're going to have to get Eddie Biscoe alone to be able to talk to him. Called him out, act like they was going to get rabbits, and got out there and just sat on a log. He says, the Holy Spirit told me you got these three questions. First, before he even got to the questions, he asked Brother Biscoe, Brother Biscoe asked him, say, Brother Branham, I see all these people speaking in tongues and interpreting and prophesying and doing all this, and they live in so many, the lives are so ungodly. What is this? He says, hard for me to receive this. Say, what is this? So Brother Branham asked Brother Biscoe, say, have you heard my message on the anointed ones at the end time?
Yeah.
Say, Brother Eddie, put his head down and say, no, I ain't heard your message on that. I know I'm supposed to be listening to the message, but I ain't heard your message on that. And then he said, he realized Brother Branham had not even preached that message. It was 5 years later that Brother Branham preached the message. Can I tell y'all something about this message here? I had this message in my notes 2018, waiting for the inspiration to come and preach it. And when we struck that quote that I read to y'all in this in the angel's message to the church, that's when I knew it was time to bring forth this message.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is still God.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
You got to have something to tell people. Brother Branham sat there and said, the angel said, you have these three questions. He sat there and explained the questions, and one of them was about the serpent's seed. And he said, the Bible say that she had a child from the Lord. Brother Branham said, yes, all children come from the Lord. I don't care if it's from the worst relationship, if it's from a mama that got pregnant without being married, that child is still coming from the Lord. Amen. He say all children come from the Lord. God got to be involved in that birth in order for that child to get here. Your birth is a miracle.
Amen.
Your birth is a miracle.
Yeah.
Actually, in one place, Brother Branham say your natural birth is more of a mystery than Mary's birth, giving birth to Christ.
Oh my.
Hallelujah. All right. So let's look at this. Let's keep reading.
Amen. I don't know if I'm going to make it to where I want to be. I'll just have to cut off, but I knew it was going to be a part one and part two to this. Cushy. I'm talking about cushy. Well, cushy done made, let's go back to the verse before that, verse 30. This was Ahimaaz that came first, and the king said to him, turn aside and stand here, and he turned aside and stood still. And then verse 31, behold, Cushi came, and Cushi said, Titus, my lord, the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day for all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushi, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushi answered, the enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. Cushi had a message. Cushi could say something. Cushi wasn't looking at just a pile of rocks and couldn't identify why the rocks were there. Cushi said the rocks was here because they buried Absalom. That's what he saw with his eyes. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Verse 33 says, and the king was much moved and went up to the chambers over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, and my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. Cushi had a message. So we don't want just people running. We want somebody running with a message. John the Baptist had a message. Now, I want to try to get to that point if I can. Maybe I will just slip back over there. I'll skip this other part here and come back to this John the Baptist. And we'll just finish it here. And then I'll bring the other part out next week. Amen. But here, I want to repeat the quote out of Spoken Words, the original seed. It says, like John the Baptist, Christ's faithful forerunner, the anointed prophet, no school of his father, no school of Pharisee, no denomination could call him from the wilderness where God had sent him. Amen. That ought to let you know if it's coming out of an educational school, it's probably not from God. God used a man, John the Baptist, that had no education. He used him also William Branham, a man with a very limited education. Seventh grade education, and notice how God did this. Seventh grade education, seven letters in his first name, seven letters in his middle name, seven letters in his last name, allowed him to go seven times around the world preaching the gospel. 777. And God is, amen, completed in sevens. Hallelujah. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Watch God in his numbers, right? So he says, like John the Baptist, Christ's faithful forerunner, the anointed prophet, no school of his father, no school of a Pharisee, no denomination could call him from the wilderness where God had sent him until he heard the voice of God, the Messiah is at hand. Are you listening, spiritual mind? What more could I say here? I'm skipping something here now. Now, John the Baptist, when we looked at him in Malachi 4, and I also read St. Luke 1, but we can look at a couple other scriptures that spoke of his ministry. Amen. And we're going to try to bring this close to home here. Isaiah 40, amen, verse 3 through 5. John the Baptist was fulfilling scripture. When John the Baptist came on the scene, if I could just, amen, remind you, if a scripture was spoken of about him before he got here, when he came on the scene, he was stepping into the vision of that scripture. Hallelujah. If the scripture was written before he got here, John the Baptist became the manifestation of the scripture. Glory. Let's read Isaiah 40, verse 3 through 5. It says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Isaiah is prophesying of the ministry of John the Baptist.
Amen. Let's look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Amen. These are scriptures that are written about John the Baptist. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. We already read Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Now we got, amen, two other scriptures. The Bible say, amen, out of the word of two or three, let every word be established. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I'm giving you scripture to support. That's why I say, don't just search the internet. Search the scripture.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah. Malachi 3, 1 says, behold, I will send my messenger. And he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. John the Baptist, when he's coming on the scene, is stepping into the vision of Elijah, amen, of Isaiah, I should say. And he's also stepping into the vision of Malachi. Hallelujah. Both of their prophecy spoke of the same man. Now, in the New Testament, let's pick it up in Mark chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. Oh, I love this. I said, all these different prophets that were anointed, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Moses, Isaiah, Daniel, so many, I mean, absolutely anointed prophets of God. But the angel identifies John the Baptist as a mighty prophet. Amen. As an anointed prophet. One that never worked a miracle one day in his life. But yet he's considered anointed. He's considered mighty. Let's look at this in Mark 1. Amen. Starting at verse 1. Glory. Hallelujah. Says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. Mark is taking them back to the word, taking them back to the Old Testament. They didn't have a New Testament at the time that Mark was writing this. But Mark taking them back to the Old Testament. Search the scriptures. Amen. Not just take what anybody's saying. Search the scriptures. It says, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Right? It says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Here, Mark identifies both what Isaiah said and what Malachi said. Glory to God. He says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, looked like a wild man, and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. This don't sound much like the prophet that's fulfilling the word of God, but yet he was. Says, and preaching, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me that latcheth, that the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. Now, I like this. John is not bringing the people to his ministry. John is actually pointing the people to a greater ministry. Can I tell y'all something? Brother Branham did not bring us to his ministry. He was always pointing us to a greater ministry, and that is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Recently, I was asked a question. Might as well say this while I'm here. I'm going to keep reading some more. I was asked a question, Brother Jack, why do you have the picture of Christ hanging behind you in the pulpit? I said, because here at this church, we want the emphasis to be on Christ. Hallelujah. And see, when you got new people that don't know any better, I think it's best to keep the emphasis on Christ. They don't know any better, right? So, I mean, they're going to know by what we teach. Amen. But the emphasis is always on Christ. John the Baptist's emphasis was on Christ. Brother Branham's emphasis was on Christ. He says, if you read the Bible and every scripture, if you don't see Christ, he said, go back and read it again. All right, let's keep reading. Mark 1, 7, and preach saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Let's go on. It says, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John and Jordan. There's much to be said here. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the Spirit, the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descended upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, the very purpose of Jesus coming to John to be baptized, it was to show that before the sacrifice could be offered, it had to be washed. And the other thing that this shows is that the Word, which Jesus was the Word always comes to the prophet. So here the Word approached the prophet in the Jordan and got baptized. The sacrifice, amen, was being washed before it could be offered. That's why John, when he said John suffered to be so, that's why, because the sacrifice had to be washed before it could be offered. That's a mystery that people just couldn't figure it out. God sent that mystery to be revealed to us through a prophet. Amen. Let's go on a little further. I'm supposed to stop there. I'm supposed to stop at verse 8. I don't know why I went further than that. But what I want you to see, and I think I might have left something out here. Oh my! Here's what I want you to see. And I got a quote here that I want to read to you. Why would the angel call John anointed? He never worked a miracle. He never raised the dead. He never healed the blinded eye. He never did any of that. His ministry only lasted 6 months, but the angel said his ministry was mighty. I missed the scripture. I forgot to write it down, but I know what it says. Jesus said that John's ministry was the greatest of all. It was Matthew 11. Let's read that. Matthew 11. That's it. That's it. I want to tell you what Jesus said about John. Matthew 11. Why would he be an anointed prophet, never working a miracle? Look at Matthew 11, verse 2. Look at this. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, here John is confused. And the reason that he's a little confused, because Jesus don't come out and just make it so public. John knew that whoever he saw the Spirit ascending on and abiding, that was the one that he was introducing. That was the thing. But here, when he gets into a little trial, he starts to doubt a little bit. And unfortunately, many saints have gone through trials and they begin to doubt a little bit. God will bring you out the trial. And notice this. Watch what happened. John sends his disciples with this question. The question is, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. He didn't even tell John, I'm he. You got to catch that on your own. You got to catch who the prophet is for this day. He's not going to just come out and just plainly tell it to you. You got to read between the lines. Watch this. He says, go and show John again those things which he do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Can we go a little further? I want to read this. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out to see? Unto the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. Never worked a miracle, a 6 month ministry. And Jesus describes John's ministry as not just a prophet, but more than a prophet. Hallelujah. Why does Jesus say it that way? Verse 10, for this is he of whom it is written, search the scriptures.
Yes, sir.
For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John, and if ye receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath an ear to hear, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus says that there was no greater prophet than John the Baptist. I want to tell you the reason why the angel called him mighty, why the angel called him anointed, even though he never worked a miracle, even though he never did anything. He didn't stop the sun. He didn't do nothing like that. But the reason that his ministry was the greatest, and the reason Jesus would say this about him, is because John's ministry was to introduce the Messiah. Now, can I read a quote from the Message Influence? This would be it. This for this portion of this message. There's a little bit more that I must say. We haven't gotten there yet. But I want you to understand, because I read you Malachi 4. I haven't even got to Revelation 10, but Malachi 4 talked about two comings of Elijah. And we already proved by scripture that there was that John the Baptist fulfilled the turning of the hearts of the fathers to the children. But there was another Elijah that was coming to turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. And that's the day in which we live right now. Our hearts are being turned back to the Word of God. The Message Influence. What did John the Baptist do? The man that Jesus said, there was never a man born of woman like him or could compare with him until that time. There's not many churches you're going to be able to go to and get a quote like that. Billy Graham couldn't have said it. Or Roberts couldn't have said it. Joel Osteen can't say it. T.D. Jakes can't say it. Great men of God, but they can't say it like this. This is a man that stepped into the vision of Malachi 4 and knew who he was. So when he's preaching the Message Influence, he says, there was never a man born of a woman like him or could compare with him until that time. Now, why? Because he knows his ministry is just as anointed, just as mighty, and would be spoken the same way of Jesus, because his ministry, just like John's ministry, was to introduce the Messiah. John introduced him at the first coming. Brother Branham's ministry is introducing him at the second coming. Let's go on. That great prophet ordained of God before the foundation world spoke of 1,207 years before he ever come on, or 712 years rather, before he came to earth by the prophet Isaiah here. What did he do when he seen a man come walking down out of the audience and he looked up above and saw the fire coming down from heaven in the form of a dove? He cried out, I have need to be baptized of thee. I must decrease. He must increase. God can't have two on the earth at the same time. Only one has a message. Ahimaaz does not have a message. Cushi has the message. Amen. Only one has the message, you know. I must decrease. He is the messenger. I've been up to this time. Now he takes my place. Now John is referring to Christ. Brother Branham is also referring to Christ. He takes my place. Amen. As Elisha, when Elijah went up and threw back his robe to Elisha, his ministry was finished. Elisha must take up where he left off. Who is that representing today? Elisha represents the bride. That's why the spirit, the bride, and the prophet will be saying the same thing. Elisha, when Elijah went up and threw back his robe to Elisha, his ministry was finished. Elisha must take up where he left off. He must increase, I must decrease. John the Baptist. Now, just a little statement here. This next, it says, be conscious of your littleness. You're nothing. You're nothing. How I would like to dwell on that for a few minutes, but you're nothing. This sounds sacrilegious, and it sounds crude. It says, I don't think the pulpit is any place for any minister to crack jokes. It's become a joking, carry-on Hollywood glamour now. That's what's the matter. Hollywood, through television, has took the pulpit over. Our women has bowed to the goddess of fashion of Hollywood long ago, and then the pulpit got into Hollywood through singers and so forth, talented men, and how a shrewd man that the devil is. You can't mix oil and water. It won't mix. Notice the great influence that people can give to others, and what you do is an influence. What we're doing with this dream is an influence. And why not bring people truth for them to just meditate on? I know you're going to do research because many people have come and have heard, you know, who was this Brother Branham that he keep talking about? Who is this Brother Branham? He's a prophet of God that God sent to turn our hearts back to the faith of the fathers. And what we're saying is he sent him to turn our hearts back to the word of God, to the truth of the word of God. Not that we worship him. We worship Jesus.
Amen.
We worship Jesus. But he was a star in the hand of Jesus, according to the book of Revelation, just like Paul was a star. Amen. And when the church got all the gospel all mixed up, God had to send somebody to straighten it all out. They was mixed up in John the Baptist's day. They got mixed up again today. And if you don't believe they was mixed up, why did the church crucify Jesus? Why did they crucify him if they weren't mixed up? Amen. It's the same crucifixion going on again today. The denominational church system is crucifying Christ all over again. God has a faithful forerunner, a man with a message. He has something to say. And we just fellowship around that message. When you see me reading those quotes, we're fellowshipping around the message. Now, I ain't even said there's more that I'm going to say next week. But I want to at least get this part out. Amen. Yes, John was, there was never a prophet like him. He was more than a prophet, according to Jesus' words. There was no one like him until that time. The reason he was anointed, the reason he was mighty, never working a miracle, is because he introduced Messiah the first time. Ain't that something? To introduce Messiah. Never even work a miracle. To get no, but no, the miracles got people's attention, but he never worked one. But he still introduced Messiah. God is good. God is good. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word. Lord, Christ's faithful forerunner. So easy for us to look back in scripture and see John the Baptist. So easy for us to identify. But Lord, we're trying to bring people forward. There was a second part to Malachi chapter 4. There was a second part to it. And Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have opened our eyes to see. And Elisha had to pray. Elisha representing the bride. It's the bride praying that you would open the eyes of the people again. Gehazi had to have his eyes open to see what was going on around him. He was missing it. I pray that people's spiritual eyes would come open to see as they read scripture. Their eyes would be anointed to see what you have written. Help us, O God, is my prayer. We ask that you be glorified and magnified and amen in our in all that we do, Lord. We don't want to miss it. And we realize, as the prophet said in that message, influence, we have a responsibility as an influence that we have. Even as people streaming, Father, and connecting to this church, there's an influence that we have. All I want to do is bring truth. The Bible told us that we shall know truth. And the truth will make us free. Father, we love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
Before I leave on today, I wanted to just take a moment to acknowledge something. We had a couple of graduates, amen, in our church this year. And man, just you get all the way down to the end and you finally get through. And unfortunately, COVID strikes. And when it strikes, then those graduates are not able to participate in a walk across the stage and all of these things where their families can be a part of them and with them. So, you know, we do, we understand, amen, that it seemed like that was something missed. But we just wanted to take a little time today to acknowledge one of our graduates and just give something. Brother Nehemiah, amen, congratulations on graduating. We have something for you. Amen. We thank God for him. He's very faithful, and we just appreciate him. And I'd just like to give our graduates something as they go into life. So, praise the Lord. We thank God for him. Amen. Brother Solomon, if you would come and just close this out in the service, amen, on today. God bless you, saints. We will look forward to seeing you all again next week. And those that are joining us online, may God bless you. We'll be back for our 12 p.m. service, and I believe you'll be blessed by that. So we encourage you to be a part of that service as well. God bless you. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Let's sing. Amen. This is the song.
Understand, Lord God, that you had us in your thinking, Lord.
way before the foundation of the world, Lord, when the Lamb's Book of Life was written, Lord, the promise of Malachi 4 was there. Lord, you had us in your mind and in your hearts, Lord, and you ordained that you would send Elijah the prophet to us, Lord. Father, we believe that word to be truth. Father, that's why we've come here this morning, Lord, because you sent us a message in this hour, Lord. And we believe it with all of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our strength, Lord God. We'll continue to praise you for the work that you have done. All that you have ordained, Lord. You have ordered our steps in your word, Lord God, and we believe. Father, we thank you again, Lord God, that we can go with these things, Lord, and rejoice, Lord, in what you have done for us. And we pray also, Lord God, that our young brothers and sisters, Lord God, who have heard this for the first time, Lord, that you will quicken this word to their lives, Lord, that you will drop the scales from their eyes and from their minds and from their hearts, Lord, that they may see, Lord, the promise that you have written for them. Bless them indeed, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you'll continue to bless and keep our pastor, Lord God. Thank you for using him this morning, Lord. And we pray, oh God, that you'll bless him, Lord, in a mighty way. Father, bless this people, Lord. Each one, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord God, may you continue to abide in us as we abide in you, Lord. Walk with us, Lord, and have your way in our lives as we commit ourselves to you now. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may have your seats, and our brothers come and dismiss you. God bless you.